Last week, we heard about the need to keep our focus on God's perspective and what God is doing in the world as we seek to make ready for Christ coming into our midst. This, of course, had to be done in the midst of distractions, in the midst of a chaotic world, in the midst of our everyday lives that sometimes in and of themselves can become distracting by their sheer rote routines. This week, we think about what it means to maintain such a perspective when we don't just encounter chaos or distracting signs, but also outright opposition, outright antagonism towards this perspective. We see this most clearly, I think, in our second reading, as Paul tells us that he is imprisoned. And what is he imprisoned for? But sharing the gospel. Is because he's been making this word of God known and holding up this perspective of what God has been doing in our midst that he finds himself in prison, that he finds himself at odds with those in power and authority. And we know today is not all that different. There are still those who are not agreeable to this perspective of God's word. It is still a difficult thing to live in love as God demands us to, and to know what love would demand of us in given situations. Indeed, it is a hard and challenging thing to follow Christ, to prepare the way of the Lord in our lives and in this world. I think we see that as well in our gospel reading. As this messenger's voice, as John the Baptist, is relegated to the wilderness. It is from the wilderness that we hear this message of the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. We don't find it in palaces, in halls of power. We don't hear about it in the temple courts, in the religious institutions, nor do we find this message in the common everyday marketplaces, in the bazaars. No, God's word, God's perspective that John would lift up for the people is relegated to the wilderness, to outside of society, into those barren places where no one would seek to remain. And we hear this and we wonder, why is this the case? Why such antagonism against God's word? Why push it aside or keep it at arm's length? Why imprison Paul? Why do we have such a hard time living out of love? We know we shouldn't. We know we should follow God's perspective. We know we should seek to prepare our hearts and minds in ways that would welcome Christ's coming, that would long for our Lord to return. I think one potential answer to this why we behave in this way, is found in our reading from Malachi. That this messenger who goes before the Lord is one who will challenge us. That there will be change that is necessary. This messenger is a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. In short, we are not quite ready for God to show up. We do not love as we should. We do not live as we should. And so we must be changed. And this changing process can be scary, painful, and uncomfortable. Who can stand on the day of his coming, we hear? Indeed, if gold or silver could talk, they would probably tell us that they would prefer not to go through fire. And we would say, but you have these impurities that need to be removed. You'll be better off for it, I promise. And they would say to us, I think my impurities are just fine. I would not like to change in this way. Thankfully, they can't talk, and so we put them through the fire and we discover their purification. This, I think, is our challenge, as God would do the same with us. God says, I will purify you. I will make you as you should be. And we say, Lord, I would prefer not to go through that process. That sounds painful, uncomfortable, and challenging. And so we keep God at arm's length. And we know that those who were in charge of overseeing God's presence with the people, of those who are supposed to be intermediaries between the people and God, also need to be changed. That's the Levites we hear in our reading from Malachi, who will be purified so that their offerings may be acceptable before God. And so we recognize how difficult it is and how challenging it is to be ready to listen for this voice that would challenge us, that would cause us to have to be different, and that this can cause within us some pushback. This can cause in others, when they hear that voice, that pushback. How do we ever hope in the midst of a chaotic and antagonistic world to keep our perspective where it should be, to focus on the work that God is doing? Well, I find hope in our reading from Philippians and in our gospel reading today. Paul is giving thanks because this community of believers at Philippi heard and received this message, that there was something about them that allowed them to be attentive to God's word and to God's work when it came forth. That there's something alluring about this gospel message that tells us that sin and death have been destroyed, that God has worked to bring about salvation for us. There's something alluring about a message that tells us our sins are forgiven. Indeed, this is the message John has to share in the wilderness. And though we don't hear about those crowds that will go out to him this week, we know that this message was alluring to those of his time as well. That people knew they needed this word of forgiveness, this cleansing process that invited their repentance and to know that their sins were forgiven. And of course, there was already a place within the city structure where this should have happened, the temple. This is where sins were to be forgiven. And yet something about John's message lures us out from our common everyday lives, from those sanctioned places that we have, to hear anew words of forgiveness. Words that tell us that we can be changed, that things can be different than the brokenness we have seen and experienced, than those impurities that have resided around us and within us. And we also hear in our gospel reading that not everything is antagonistic to this perspective God would bring. Indeed, the creation longs for God's word and God's path to be made manifest. And so the creation goes through some significant changes to bring this about. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, and the rough places shall be made smooth, and the crooked shall be made straight. These are some significant changes, dear brothers and sisters, in topography. And the world is allowing itself to be reshaped and reformed, all for the sake of making the way of God clear, all for the sake of allowing all flesh, all that dwells upon this world, to see the salvation God would long to bring. We hear of creation's willingness to be transformed in this way and for this purpose. And we know this should be our desire as well. We should long to be so changed that we can help point people to the work that God is doing, to the salvation God is working to bring about. And if we wonder, well, then what would that look like? I think Paul gives us some ideas, just as he did last week in our reading from 1 Thessalonians, this week in our reading from Philippians. The overall recommendations for how we are to change, be purified, to live as we should, remain the same. First, there is this highlighting of the community of faith, or Paul gives thanks for the Philippians, just as Paul gave thanks for the Thessalonians, where there is encouragement to continue to meet together, to long to have each other's company, to help us endure in this perspective of what God is doing, and to help us continue to see the salvation that God has won for us in Christ. We also hear again about love. We hear a prayer today for this Philippian community that they would overflow in love for one another more and more, and that this will lead them to knowledge and full insight so that they may know what to do. And so this is a little bit different than what we heard last week, said to the Thessalonians. Here, I think Paul may be addressing what we should do when we encounter specifically antagonistic forces. We are to allow love to overflow in ways that will shape our response, our thinking, and our acting, that will help us point to what God is doing, even when people are pushing back against us, even when we may find ourselves in prison, even when we find ourselves rejected and cast aside. We, in those very moments, are to have love lead us and guide us to shape our thinking and our response, that we may make this way of God more clear in the world. Now, of course, that's a tall order. That is something we cannot do on our own. And Paul is well aware of this as well. This is why we hear him sharing with the Philippians that what they need is God to work in them. And indeed, he affirms God is the one who has already started to work in them. It wasn't Paul who made this community. It was God who began this work in them and among them. This message is not about who shares it and who receives it, but it is about the God who speaks it and longs to have it shared. It is God who has begun this work within us, within the communities of faith, and it is God, we are confident, as Paul is, who will bring that work to completion, who will complete this purification and refining process that we may stand ready to encounter the salvation God longs to offer. Yes, we need this work of God too. We need God's steadfast love and presence in our lives if we are to overflow in love in ways that allow us to respond to a chaotic and antagonistic world as we should. And we encounter that work of God again today in this meal that we share, where creation itself is transformed in significant ways once more to help flesh encounter the salvation of God. In this bread and wine, we encounter Christ's own body and blood, and we hear once more this proclamation that our sins are forgiven. No more does that word come to us from the periphery, from the wilderness. No, today it comes to us from God's own Son seated at the right hand of God. As God shows up in this meal to continue the work that God has begun in us, to continue to help our love overflow all the more, to help us see our connection to the full body of Christ, to strengthen and nourish us that we may persist in our perspective of God's work in us and among us, that we may persist in our mission of celebrating and sharing the love of Christ. No matter what pushback we receive from within or from without, no matter what chaos we see swirling around us, thanks to this meal and the grace we receive here, we can continue to celebrate and share the love of Christ. For this amazing news, for this God who keeps reaching out to us, who keeps seeking to purify and refine us in ways that will let us be blameless when Christ comes. For God who works in this ways to forgive our sin and to transform us as we need. We can only say for such a God who does such work as this, thanks be to God. Amen.